Corey Graham here in for Jason. I am joined by Jason Strudwick, who is just grooving right now. I wanted to let that song keep going, man. You're like, great song, great day. Just going to stand up and start singing here at On the Rocks.
Everybody loves Hall & Oates. I don't want to know someone who doesn't like Hall & Oates. They're such a delightful band.
So you're going to hate me. Not that I don't like Hall & Oates. I had no idea who that was.
You didn't know Private Eye is sung by Hall & Oates?
No idea.
Oh. You didn't know that song like whatsoever?
Oh,
well,
I
remember that. Well, that was in the Oilers' room for a while, wasn't it, that song? Ooh. That was a couple of years ago. That was like the Wind song.
Yeah, it was for a couple. I mean, we didn't win a lot of games, so you didn't hear it that much. I don't blame you. But, I mean, you're a man about town. You're wheeling around. You like music. Like, what kind of song would you like to have as your intro? Like, if you were a fighter, an MMA fighter, walking to the ring, I'd probably have, you know, ABBA.
ABBA?
Queen.
Yeah.
What would you have?
I'd probably do something by Eminem.
Oh, so
get you fired up. I'm not that guy, though.
Totally
I'm not.
Like
no, but if I'm going to go into the, if I'm going to be dragged into that sort of situation, I want to be as ready as I could be.
So you're trying to intimidate the other person.
No, I'm just trying to make myself not, you know, mess myself going out there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I want to make sure I'm at least somewhat positive going down that aisle to the ring.
You need dry fit shorts, so don't show wetness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because okay. that would be a mess.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Like a fight at school? Like a schoolyard fight?
Yeah, anywhere. Yeah. On the ice?
Sure.
Basketball or Slurpee? Or...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a little bit when I was younger. I haven't been in a fight for a long time.
Well, I don't expect
I
to
hope
be,
not.
No,
I mean,
fighting last week or anything, yeah.
Yeah. But no, a few times. Not a lot. I'm not really, you know.
Aggressive guy. You don't strike me as an aggressive human being.
Really? No, not usually. I kind of just sit back and let things happen. It's all good.
Okay. That's fine. No, I got it.
We used to have, actually, and it's terrible now to think about because I'm sure I lost a few brain cells, but like helmet and gloves only fights in the dressing room after practices.
Yeah, sure.
We would just go crazy as kids.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. Now I'm thinking, man, it probably wasn't the smartest thing to ever do as like a 12, 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. We used to do it all the time.
So yeah. Well, I can tell.
Helmets and gloves.
Yeah.
I went to a camp in Notre Dame, Wilcox, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
My aunt decided it would be good for... the younger Niedermeyer brother, Rob, and I to go.
Yeah.
So we go there, and I was like average at best hockey player at that camp. Rob was like the best player for five groups up and five groups down. So everyone was like, they're jealous. And these are farm kids. They were jealous of him.
Yeah.
And they would challenge him in to fight. Well, he didn't want to fight, so I would step in. And that's where my fighting career started.
Really?
I was fighting farmers in the middle of a dressing room. Like you say, bottoms, helmets, and gloves.
Yeah.
And I'd fight these guys. Someone would challenge Rob, and I'd be like, he didn't want to do it. So I'm like, I guess I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then after, he'd buy me candy to make me feel better.
Wow.
I got a purple chin. This kid hit me so hard in the chin. You know, he had that chin. I had the purple chin.
Really?
Remember, I walked out of there after a week. We stayed overnight there.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep. And my dad's like, why do you look so tired? What's wrong with your chin? I'm like, oh, nothing.
Yeah.
My poor cousins filled me up with candy trying to make me feel better. That was a real eye-opener, man. Those farmers, those guys can fight.
Well, man, I remember doing post-game shows when you were playing, and we would talk about how you get the lawnmower going because you would just stand there and just throw, hey?
Yeah, every now and then. But that's what I learned from the farmers. They never stopped.
Yeah, like it never seemed like you just hold a guy and just like you're throwing no matter what.
Well, everyone's got to develop their style of fighting.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, my first year in the minors, I think I fought 22 times and I lost just about every one of them. Like,
oh boy.
Because you don't have a style, you know.
Yeah.
You got to learn, and they're men and they're stronger than you. So it takes time to figure it out. I mean, it's changing now. I mean, there's fighting's down. Everyone wants it out, and that's fine. I guess I don't personally like that, but I guess. People who don't want to see fighting are happy. They'll see more violence, I think, more dangerous stick work and elbows because there's not that release valve of fighting. But if that's what everybody wants, then go ahead and enjoy that type of hockey. But, when you do learn, you have to – the best way to learn to fight is to do it. You can't
–
I can tell you everything you want, or someone can tell me all the advice, but until you've stood in there and taken a couple off the chin and, you know, eaten a few, you're not going to learn to get better.
Did you ever like have somebody like take boxing lessons or –
Yeah, my first year in the minors, my coach, Jimmy Roberts, he was about 100 years old, and he saw I was losing quite often. He said, let's go take boxing lessons. So I'm not kidding you. This guy looked like Mickey, except one of his eyes was half closed.
Oh, really?
He told me when he was younger, he got punched too much, so he had a droopy eye. And he was older than my coach. He was like 105 years old. So I went in there. He taught myself and my teammate, Jed Feeblecorn, a college guy, how to fight and box. And I don't know if it really helped or not, but it was interesting because we'd go to practice and then Jimmy like, get up there, go see. I forget the guy's name, but I called him Mickey. up there and see Mickey. And we'd be up there in this dirty, smelly gym, pounding this heavy bag and like working the speed bag over. And Jed's like, I'm not going to fight anymore because I know how to do this. So Jed wasn't fighting, so I fought more. So not only did I fight more on the ice because Jed didn't want to fight, I had to fight also in the boxing ring. We'd get in there and spar with some guys, smaller guys, and get worked over, and Jed didn't want to go in. So I was fighting more than everyone else because Jed didn't want to do it. He was bigger than me, but he didn't want to fight. College guy, you know how it is.
Yeah, I do know how that is. Paid off though.
It did. Yeah. It did. I learned. I lost everything. Every fight. I even lost to Mickey. He beat me up a couple times. You should have seen this guy's jab. I'm not kidding.
You should have used that one side where he couldn't quite see.
Well, I wasn't smart enough at the time. You should have seen this guy hit the heavy bag though.
Really?
I swear to God, he was probably in his late 70s, early 80s, and when you heard this thing snap at that age, I was like, whoa, man, that's some power. It was pretty impressive. Wow. Mickey's probably not alive now, but it's been 20 years. But I wish I would have stayed in touch with him. But he was droopy eye.
He might still be down there training. You never know.
He probably is. Yeah. The next gym, well, it's in Worcester. Maybe there's still a team. Is there still a team? I think there's still a team there.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder if he's still training those guys. Mickey.
Wow.
Tough guy.
Can't say I thought this is how the show was going to start today.
You brought it up. You brought it up.
Actually, no, you started it, but that's okay. You were talking about me fighting. I'm like,
well, I was asking. Yeah, but then you turned around on me.
Yeah, well, of course, because people actually know you fight.
Well, but everyone, because it's always funny. Whenever I'd get into a fight, if it went well or didn't get well, people would say, hey, why don't you do this or do that? And I'd ask them, how many fights have you been in?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in the trenches, taking a few grenades? And then you can start talking about it, because it's different. It's
no
different to actually take and to feel it. And the best advice I ever got was from Chris Murray. And he was drafted by the Montreal Canadiens, a very tough guy in junior.
Yeah.
And he told me you have to see through the punches. So that basically means you got to be able to eat them and not even let it phase you.
Yeah.
And this guy would chew on punches like nobody's business and just keep on trucking. It was crazy.
Wow. What? You're done a fight at home. Your building's going nuts. What's that like? What's that feeling like when you head to the box?
I never really got off on that.
No?
It wasn't my thing. I would just do it. If every now and then something went well, I'd maybe look at their bench more than anything. Okay, what's happening? And then, but other than that, nothing really. You don't really want to. I don't like that. Like, I remember some guys that play in the minors that do the diamond cutter over their knees. I'm like, that's embarrassing. Just skate off like you've actually been in a fight before. Like, you know, and I feel the same way. I know people are going to say I'm old school, but I feel the same way about goals. You know, there's a time to celebrate a goal, but then if it's a 4-1 goal and 5 minutes to go, I don't think you need to jump into every pane of glass around the rink.
Yeah.
Just celebrate it and or just hand up, high five, go to the bench. Like, I love it. Steve Eisman, he was probably one of the best guys to show how to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, I don't mind a little bit when it's a big goal, like you said.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're scoring a game-winning goal or you're getting the team on the board, like, But when it's 4-1, it's kind of like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I should say this. One time I scored a goal. We were losing like 6-0 to Colorado.
Yeah.
And I got a shift out there on 4, and I scored on Patrick Roy. And I'm embarrassed to say this. I was cheering. And Dennis Savard is our assistant coach. He was yelling from the bench, cheering too. And Brian Sutter, our coach, was like, what do you guys celebrate? It's 6-1. But I was like, suck on it, Patrick. And I was so excited, right?
Yeah.
And, but anyways, we didn't have a lot to celebrate that year, so I guess. You know, scoring on Patrick Roy is as good as anything. Well, I believe he's a Hall of Famer, but I guess everyone probably scores a Hall of Fame goalers. So
hey, I got a goal on Curtis Joseph in like a charity game, so I'm still talking about that. And actually went off my skating in. So
Cujo.
But I beat Cujo.
Really?
At once, yeah.
Cujo.
Yeah.
Was he watching, or was this like?
No, it hit me and went in.
Oh, okay.
It was awesome. Right. I was just standing in front of the net.
Well, that's your aggressive nature.
Yeah.
People are afraid to confront you.
Well, no, it's just because I was probably tired and didn't want to go to the side, so I just stood there and waited for something to come to me. That's how it works.
I'll tell you what. You know what? Let me ask Meg a question. I bet you she plays in her lady. Is it ladies' leagues or females' leagues? I'm not sure exactly how you're talking, Meg.
Well, I think aren't they the same thing?
I don't know. I don't know the term. I don't mind the whole term.
Okay, it's women's hockey.
Okay, women's hockey. Go ahead. When you score a goal, I bet you're the kind that celebrates no matter what the time or score. And you're probably so irritating, people want to run you over.
I remember a time, I was probably 21, and we went to this tournament in Vancouver, and we were put in a tournament that the tiers weren't the same across the border.
Okay.
So we ended up playing all these teams that were just way below us. And so for one game we played, we all switched hands, and I went left-handed. And I remember I scored a goal. I was actually on a breakaway. I lost the puck. I got the puck back. And then I somehow managed to score. And I celebrated like I had just won the Stanley Cup. I think that was our 21st goal. And they still had none. And then I was like, oh, I shouldn't have celebrated like that. But how could you not if you score a goal with the wrong hand?
Oh, just like school on Saturday. No class.
Were you just trying to like find a way to use that line on me?
Oh, God. Yeah. No.
Say that one up.
I think your story just said enough right there. Who celebrates on a 21st goal? Hey,
apparently Meg.
I forgot that we were winning by so much. I was just impressed that I was able to score left-handed.
Oh boy, against a team that couldn't even skate?
Yeah. Like, was there a goalie in there?
Yeah, like... Yeah.
Oh, not a good one.
Actually, Corey and I are disgusted right now with that story.
Well, for the fact that I was able to lose the puck on a breakaway and then go get it back and still score left-handed, it just showed the quality of the team.
Yeah, it shows how slow they were.
Yeah. Oh, they were terrible.
They were skating on their ankles.
You can text us 10-12-60. This one comes in. Top five fight ever was Struds versus Carcillo. That from Josh. Do you remember that one?
I do, yeah. He was, you know what, that guy's a tough little bugger.
Yeah, yeah?
My God, yeah, he's a tough guy. Yeah, I always like Carcillo, yeah. He's a little bit of size advantage, though.
Yeah.
I'm not really proud of that one. He's not the biggest guy, but what are you going to do?
This one comes in. Merrick Malik shootout goal, great celebration, classic versus Capitals. Sidney Crosby shootout goal versus Theodore and the Habs, and he celebrates like he just scored the Stanley Cup Final Game 7 winner. What do you think about that, Struds?
I think that's the time to do it. I mean, Sidney Crosby, was that the very first one he did?
Yeah, well, first game against Montreal,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a special moment. Those are special moments. I'm talking about, I think any time you're celebrating a shootout is a goal, you can do it.
Yeah.
It's a very unique thing. But, you know, we're talking about a different situation where you're up by a bunch or, you know, putting a team to shame and don't embarrass the other team. And I see guys that, you know, it's just, to me, it's too much. But yeah, anything overtime, first goal, you know, late in a period, a big playoff game, you can celebrate as much as you want. You want to see that passion.
Yeah, on that goal, I mean, he did the leg kick. He took the water bottle off. I mean, that's a pretty good goal.
I mean, because was that his first ever shootout goal?
It might have been.
It was pretty.
It was early in his first year because it was in Pittsburgh. It was the first time.
I remember it.
It might have been his first nationally televised game in Canada.
Sick.
Because I think the call is like, Canada, welcome to the Sidney Crosby Show or something like that.
Yeah.
So
it was a
big deal.
Yeah, and he's a fan. But, I mean, you go back and think of just some of the great guys who just were calm when they scored a goal. You know, it's cool. Not all the goals, but some. You just need to relax.
We have a busy show for you today.
Yes.
We are going to talk about the Chicago Bears up next.
Ooh.
In a couple minutes, we go around the NFL. Mike Hogan from TSN 1050 in Toronto will preview the Eskimos and the Argos. AJ Jakubek drops by, talks some Ottawa Red Blacks. Nate Cohorn from the Edmonton Eskimos as well. We'll stop by at 4 o'clock. A couple of WHL guests on the way as well, and we'll look at the Oakland Raiders later in the show. So lots going down. We are live here at On the Rocks. Things are working here today.
I heard you've had trouble with that.
Yeah. Well, it's all good here. I might have got here super early just to make sure. This is a good afternoon. Had a nice little lunch here at On the Rocks. It's a good spot to be. Yeah, there's lots coming in about Meg's celebration now. She's getting chirped pretty good on
She
it.
Should be.
Yeah,
and I know. I hope it's the girls from that other team. I know we should have a section. We should call that team up and have a discussion with them.
It was in Vancouver.
Well, I'll find them.
Phone lines still work in Vancouver.
What's it
know?
Called? The Ladybirds? What was the name of the team you're playing against?
I have no idea.
Ladybugs?
I was 21. Oh. It should be the Ladybugs, though. Wow, what a great team name that is.
That is a long time ago. How can we remember what happened when you were 21?
Yak against LA, a big goal, but excessive Selly. But that was a massive goal for him too, right?
Yeah, I think it was a big goal for a little too much, but a big goal. I mean, the team was coming back, fun win. It was fun, but a little bit too much for me.
So somebody on your team does that. What are you doing at the bench when they come back? Are you giving it to them a bit, or are you just kind of like shaking your head?
Shake your head privately. Just send him a mean text later at night.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
You're
you know
still celebrating?
I mean, but it was a moment that he got caught up
in.
And you cannot blame the guy. Young guy, you're excited for that. Because that's the one you're talking about when he slid, right?
Yeah.
He slid by.
Did he not in baseball knock that in, too?
Cool. Like, it was great. I mean, cool. You get it. Young guy excited. Yeah. I get it. You can't fault that one.